Hare Krishna. I am feeling very humbled to be in your presence in the great holy historical city of Kolkata. My sincerest gratitude to each of you for being with us this evening. Of all the places in the universe, the most magnanimous, munificent, merciful of all incarnations of the One Supreme Absolute Truth, who is the source of everything, the father and mother of all living beings, the proprietor of everything that exists, and the cause of all causes. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he chose to appear in the state of Bengal in India, quite close to here. Prajendra Nandana Jai Sachi Shuta Hoilo Shai Balarama Hoilo Nitai. That Krishna, who is the son of the king of Sri Vrindavan, Nanda Maharaj, appeared as the son of Sachi in Sri Navadvip Mayapur Dham. And Balaram, the son of Rohini and Vasudev, appeared in Ekachakra as Nityananda Prabhu, not far from here. Our great acharyas, especially more recently, Thakur Bhakti Vinod. This was one of the places that was most important to him for delivering the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Bengal, to India, and to the whole world. In Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, he was living in Navadvip Mayapur. Such a beautiful life. At that time, Mayapur, Mother Ganga was absolutely, completely crystal clear, transparent. We're speaking over 100 years ago. The most sacred of all sacred places, which is none different from Vrindavan. He was performing tapasya there, but that tapasya was sweeter than nectar. Constantly chanting the holy names in ecstatic, pure love for Sri Radha Krishna. Immersed in the sweetest remembrance of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya and their beautiful pastimes and associates in Sri Mayapur. But he left there and came to Kolkata. which under the British regime was the most influential city in all of India. And also filled with materialism. Perhaps the dirtiest, most materialistic city also. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would be asked, why have you left the pristine, pure, holiest of all holy places, Sri Vrindavan Navadweep, to come to Calcutta? This is a city of dirt, pollution, greed, materialism, arrogance, envy, hunger for power. Why do you want to be here? He said, for all the reasons that that person said, that's why he wants to be here. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, where there's the greatest necessity, there's the greatest opportunity to serve. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is Patita Pavana Avatar. He's come in this age of Kali to deliver the very fallen souls. And Lord, and those souls who were so fallen, who were the lowest of the low, Lord Chaitanya reserved them to be delivered by Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Paramakaruna Pahundui Jana Nithai Goda Chandra. These two brothers are supremely merciful. Nityananda Prabhu is Balaram, the original servitor personality of Godhead. He is absolutely non-different than Krishna in every way, except eternally Balaram, he simply serves Krishna in every way. And in this way, he's the original Guru. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, following in the line of our great Gaudiya Acharyas, he took the mood of Nityananda Prabhu and came to Calcutta. And it was here in 1922 at Ultodunga Junction Road that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave the instruction to a young man who was just married, just had a child, named Abhay Chadan. The instruction was given, you should take the message of Lord Chaitanya in the English language and bring it to the Western world, all over the world. And that was the seed which later grew into the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Because our Srila Prabhupada took that instruction as his life and soul. Srila Prabhupada would say that Calcutta is the gateway to Mayapur. But also, Mayapur is the place where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established this Prem Sankirtan movement. To reach every town and village in the world. And it was Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur who left Navadweep to come to Calcutta, gave this instruction to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada left from Calcutta to go to the West. So not only is Calcutta the gateway to Mayapur, but it is from Mayapur the gateway to the whole world. So Lord Nityananda Prabhu, his mercy is so greatly emphasized by our beloved acharyas. All the biographers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur, Kaviraj Goswami, they all give all credit to Nityananda Prabhu. Only by his mercy have we received Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Only by his mercy do we have the power to reveal Lord Chaitanya's pastimes and teachings to the world. So this evening I would like to very briefly discuss some of the events of Lord Nityananda Prabhu's pastimes in this world. Ekachakra is a very ancient historic place. The Pandavas lived there with Queen Kunti. Many, many great personalities throughout the Vedic history. And long ago, there was so much wealth and opulence in Ekachakra. All the people there were very pious, very deeply spiritually minded. And there were so many great scholars of all the different philosophies and great devotion to Vishnu. It was there that the son of a very learned Brahmin pundit named Ojha was born. He was Hadai Ojha, because he became a very great scholar of the scriptures. And he was so devotional. His name was given Hadai Pandit. He was married to a lady who had all auspicious, devotional, exalted qualities. Srimati Padmavati Devi. Since we have been interrupted by this reorganizing, I'd like to go back a little. Among all the great scholars of Ekachakra, there was one very learned, exalted soul who was not only a deep devotee, but he was a great astrologer. He predicted, according to astrology, according to the shastras that he was studying, that Ekachakra was the most fortunate of all places Because the Supreme Lord Balaram would take birth here. And all the other astrologers and all the other pundits, they all discussed this and they were convinced, yes, this will be. But then that Brahmin, he became sad. He said, I will not live to see the Lord take birth in our town. Hadai Pandit, Padmavati, just after their marriage, Hadai Pandit's mother and father both passed away from the world. It was a sad situation. And soon after that, Padmavati gave birth to the most illustrious little child. His beauty, his lotus-like eyes, his resplendent golden complexion, his body, it was irresistibly attractive to everyone's eyes and hearts. People called him many names. Some called him Rama. Some called him Nityananda. But most people just called him Nitai. Padmavati and Hadai Pandit and everyone in Ekachakra, their lives were totally focused and centered on giving Nitai happiness. When he smiled, there was no problem that could possibly come in anybody's minds. Everyone just wanted to hold this little child in their lap. His body was as soft as freshly churned butter. And just seeing his glance, just touching him, just hearing him, would remove all distress, all limitation, and fill everyone's hearts with joy. From his very birth, he was literally inundating people's hearts with love. Before he took birth, there was droughts, there was famines, there were so many problems in that area that as soon as he took birth, everything on every level became auspicious. He was growing up. He crawled, and he started to walk, then he started to run. And through all these different stages, Padmavati Devi, she just could not tolerate even a moment when she wasn't holding her child. Such motherly love. She would be constantly thinking about him. And Hadai Pandit was the same. He would have to go to the fields to do agriculture. He would sometimes have to go shopping. But as soon as he would leave the house, after a few seconds, he would have to run back and just look at Nitai. Then he would go back and he'd have to run back to see Nitai. This is the deep attachment they had for him. And when Nitai got a little older, he played the most extraordinary games with his friends. Not ordinary games. He enacted the pastimes of Krishna and his various incarnations. How could a small child know these pastimes? This was a mystery to everyone in Ekachakra. He was the producer, the director, the leading star. He would help to make the wardrobes. He would put on the makeup and cosmetics. He would make the backdrop scenes. He was organizing every detail with such happiness. And all his little friends were so blissful just to do whatever Nityananda wanted to do. And so many wonderful leelas were done. He would have his little friends going to the ocean of milk and praying to Vishnu. One is dressed up as Mother Earth, who is dressed up as a cow, begging Brahma, please help me. I'm being plundered by the people of this world. It's very interesting. Krishna's birth. It begins with Mother Earth. Mother Earth coming to Brahma, expressing her great sorrow that there are so many greedy, arrogant people who are plundering me and exploiting me and misusing my children. What she must be feeling now, Mother Earth, with all the exploitation and all the ecological problems and all the pollution due to greed and greed alone. Greed and arrogance. And how these children, with their hearts, they were little children. They weren't just acting, playing, oh, I'm Mother Earth now, crying, please save me, Brahma, please help me. Let us go to the ocean of milk. And then they'd be praying, and all the little children were like demigods praying to Vishnu, please help Mother Earth, please help all of us. And then one of the boys would speak, I will come to the earth. And then he'd change the scenes, and there would be the marriage of Vasudeva and Devaki, and then there would be Kamsa getting that voice that the eighth child is going to kill you. And then the boys, under Nityananda's direction, would make a prison cell. And they'd actually go out of their homes right at midnight. They did everything so shastrically, so accurately. And Krishna would be born in a prison cell at midnight. And then one of the boys would take a little baby Krishna across the river Yamuna and bring to Vasudevan, or to Nanda and Yashoda Mai's house. And they would have Nandotsav, a grand celebration. Nityananda Prabhu, he would just have such a beautiful celebration, just like Nandotsav and Gokul Mahavan. He just, all the children celebrating, and the adults would be watching. How is this possible? What are they doing? And then just in the forests they would do this, and in the pastures. The deliverance of Putana and Sakatasura, and then Nityananda Prabhu, the little children, they would run into different people's houses to steal butter and ghee and yogurt. And the people were so charmed. In Krishna Leela, they would pretend to get angry. But Nityananda was so charming that even though he was coming into their houses and stealing their butter, they would say, Nitai, Nitai, come sit on my lap. And they'd embrace him and cry in happiness and say, Nitai, steal anything you like. So they made a snake out of leaves and put it in a lake. And deliverance of Kaliya. They lifted Govardhan Hill. very dramatic performances in great detail. But what really astounded people, because usually Nityananda Prabhu always took the role of Krishna, because he was so engrossed in Krishna. Being Lord Balaramji himself, he was so immersed in loving devotional sentiments to Krishna. He was so absorbed in Krishna's pastimes, he would enact these pastimes. But then when it came to the Leela of Akrura taking Krishna and Balaram from Vrindavan, Nityananda Prabhu played the role of a gopi so he could feel the ecstasy of the love of the gopis in their pains of imminent separation. And as the children were just playing their roles, there's a Krura and there's a little, they didn't even have a chariot, they just pretended to have like a chariot, and everyone was there, and Hare Krishna.
Can you all come? Please come. Sorry, Maharaj. Can you please all come towards Maharaj more closer? You are all lucky. Please come. Because many, many devotees are standing and they need to sit down. And please come more closer that we can give chance to all those who are standing. They can all hear Maharaj and get blessed. Please come more nearer. As much possible, it is cold outside. It will become more warmer. Please come. Please come. And the sound system, you can make it a little more clearer. That will be highly appreciated. Thank you. Okay. Little louder. Thank you, Maharaj.
As they were playing this most heartbreaking pastime, Nityananda Prabhu in the role of a gopi, seeing Akrura taking Krishna out of Vrindavan, he cried and he cried and he cried incessantly, genuine, deep, soulful tears. He was beside himself. And the children, and even the parents of the children, nobody could act this way. These are like dramas. But Nitai, he was actually manifesting these leelas. They were struck with wonder. He couldn't even walk. He couldn't even stand. Just weeping and weeping and weeping. And they performed all the primary leelas of Ramayana. And the leela where Ravana approaches Lakshman, and Nityananda Prabhu was playing Lakshman that scene. He said, I am going to kill you with my Shakti Shila weapon, and threw a lotus flower on Nityananda. And when the lotus flower touched him, he fell to the ground unconscious. There was no signs of life. Heartbeat, pulse, breath. Nobody could detect it. He seemed to be dead. Nobody knew what to do. The children were gathered in a circle around little Nitai, crying and crying. Then the parents came and they were crying. And Padmavati and Hadai Pandit, they were besides themselves in grief. What happened? What happened? How did this happen? He said, I just threw a lotus flower. He told me to do it. They tried to revive him, but they could not revive him. And then one of the little boys, actually one of the saints who happened to be there, he said, "Did he give any instructions to any of you boys of what to do if this happens?" And one of the little boys said, "Yes, yes." He said, "If I fall down, make sure Hanuman comes to bring me a medicinal herb." And this boy, he's supposed to be Hanuman. And the boy says, "Yes, yes, now I remember I'm Hanuman." And he went running and he did a whole leela according to the script of Nityananda Prabhu. He went to a mountain and he started carrying a mountain. And as he was carrying the mountain with all the herbs on it, this crocodile, a demon in the form of a crocodile, attacked him. And Hanuman fought with that. And then he came back. And finally, after all kinds of enactments of different scenes, the boy comes back, Hanuman boy, with a medicinal herb. And Nityananda Prabhu gets up and smiles. Somebody asked Nitai, "How do you know these leelas so exactly? Nobody ever told you these. You're only not even 10 years old, and you're enacting every day so many pastimes, all day, every day. How do you know them?" And Nitai smiled, and he said something that was so true, but nobody could understand what he said and why. His answer, "How do you know these leelas?" He just smiled and said, "These are my pastimes." The amazing thing is sometimes they would be playing these leelas all night, all day, and no parent was disturbed that they were taking all the children to play with them. They were all so happy. They tell their children, "Anytime, anywhere, just go with Nityananda Prabhu." They just wanted Nitai to be happy. In this way, life was going on in Ekachakra. Everyone was filled with ecstasy. And the ecstasy was getting deeper and deeper as each day was going on. Vrindavan Das Thakur tells, not too far away from Ekachakra, in Navadvip, Lord Gauranga was born. And at that moment, there was no internet or communications on any material level to give news of these things. But Nitai knew. And at the moment on the Gaur Purnima of the birth of Lord Chaitanya, Nitai, in his ultimate ecstasy, he roared in happiness. And it just shook all directions. And after this, while he was doing all his leelas with his friends, he was thinking that I have descended into this world to assist my beloved Lord Gauranga in his pastimes of compassion. He is my life, my soul, my everything. But how? How will I ever be able to leave Ekachakra to assist my Lord in his incarnation? Everyone is so totally attached to me. I'll never be able to just leave them. So he was thinking like this. then by his own intimate mystical arrangement, one day a mysterious sannyasi entered Ekachakra. Very pure-hearted, great saint. He inquired, "Where is the house of Hadai Pandit?" When Hadai Pandit met him, he was so happy because this is the Vedic culture, especially Vaishnav culture, that when a sadhu comes to your home, it's the greatest joy and the greatest blessing to serve them, to fulfill their desires. So Hadai Pandit, he invited this sannyasi into his home. He gave him a nice sitting place, washed his feet, offered him prasad cooked by Padmavati. The sannyasi said, "I will not eat your prasad unless you promise me that you will fulfill my request." Hadai Pandit, he said, "Oh, please, this prasad, it is the greatest honor we have to serve you. I will fulfill any request you have. Please, honor prasad." So he took the prasad of Hadai Pandit very happily. And then throughout the entire night, they just talked about Krishna. And in the morning, just as that sannyasi was about to leave, he said, "You have promised to fulfill my request. I'm a sannyasi. I'm all alone. I am traveling to all the great holy places, and I need a companion. Someone who will help to cook for me. Someone who will help me with the menial chores that are required. Give me your son, Nityananda. I will take care of him as my own loving child and protect him." Hadai Pandit, this was an unbearable shock. It was like the most frightening, powerful thunderbolt striking his soft heart. His heart was broken. He was delirious. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know what not to do. But he was a great Vaishnav. And we learn to see through the eyes of the scriptures. Sometimes good times come to us, and sometimes tragedies, dangers, failures. We learn to see all these situations through the eyes of the scriptures. And what did the scriptures tell? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he extracted the very essence of all the scriptures of how we can actually understand God. Mahajano yena katasa bandha. by following in the footsteps of the great souls.
Hadai Pandit was thinking, he's not just asking for my son, he's asking for my life. I cannot live without Nitai. He's asking me to give him my life.
And he reflected of Dasarath Maharaj in Ayodhya. He was faced with the same dilemma. There is Nityananda Ram and Dasarath, there was Ram. And out from the forest came a sannyasi named Vishwamitra. And he told Dasarath, I want something. I want you to vow to me that you will fulfill my request. And Dasarath, I'll give you my whole kingdom. I'll give you anything. I vow, whatever you like. Give me Ram. I'm going into the forest on pilgrimage. And Dasarath, giving Ram was giving his life. But Hadai Pandit was thinking, still, even if it was so painful, even if it was so inconceivable, Dasarath gave Ramchandra to Vishwamitra. So I cannot betray the Dharma that is expected of me. But I must first consult my wife. Ultimately, if she objects, I cannot do it. So he went to Padmavati. He was weeping, he was crying, he was trembling, he was lost. That this sannyasi wants to take our little 12-year-old Nitai on pilgrimage with him. It may be for years. Padmavati, she had the same reactions. All she could say is, whatever is your will is my will. Hadai Pandit and Padmavati looked at little Nityananda Prabhu to see what was his reaction. And he was completely calm. He was smiling. I'm ready to go. He didn't say anything, but that was the indication. I'm ready to go. No problem. To leave such a loving, protected home, to leave all of his friends, the comforts. Though, can you imagine Padmavati? The love, the devotion, the ecstasy in which she would cook for Nitai every day. And now he's going out to be a beggar in forests. So the sannyasi, it is said, I was told this story at Ekachakra, near the Garbhavas, that the sannyasi gave Padmavati and Hadai Pandit a deity of Krishna named Muralidhar. And that deity is still on the altar there. And whenever Padmavati and Hadai Pandit looked into the face of that deity, they could see the face of their Nityananda Prabhu. The sannyasi left.
with the life and the soul of everyone of Eka Chakra. Very soon, the news spread to everyone. Everyone came running to the house of Hadai Pandit and Padmavati, and they were unconscious. The only motion in their body was torrents of tears pouring from their eyes. They would come to conscious, they would remember Nitai, they would fall unconscious. People saw that. Everyone in Eka Chakra became in that state. And the parents, we have to bring Nitai back. They were running in all directions trying to find the sannyasi, and they were crying out, take my son, don't take Nitai. They were crying out to this person, whoever he was, please come back, take my son knows cooking, Nitai doesn't know any cooking. He's never cooked in his life. My son is a good cook. My son knows housekeeping. My son knows so many things. Please take him, but give us back Nitai. And they were running in all directions looking for the sannyasi, trying to get Nitai back, but they couldn't find him anywhere. They just disappeared. And when they all came together, all they could do was cry and cry and cry. They were trying to pacify Padmavati and Hadai Pandit, but they were all more or less in the same condition. And that night, the pundits, they came together. And they remembered that great astrologer. He predicted that Sri Bhagavan Balaram would take birth in our town, our village, and give everyone the greatest happiness. And he did. And we did not recognize him. Nitai is Balaram. He was with us. And now he's gone. Hadai Pandit, Padmavati, they could not eat, they could not drink, they could not sleep. They were immersed in the thought of Nitai. For 3 months, it's only the thought of separation of Nitai, the love and separation that kept him alive. And Narahari Chakravarti tells a beautiful story in Bhakti Ratnakar how Hadai Pandit, the only thing that kept him alive was the expectation that at any moment Nitai would come. He'd just call out, Nitai, I'm going to the fields now to see how the crops are growing. Come, come with me. Let's see together. Nitai, I'm going shopping. Come with me. Choose what you like to get. Nitai, your mother has made all the most favorite dishes of your prasad. It's ready. She's anxiously awaiting for your return home to feed you. Come, Nitai. And one time he cried out with great joy to Padmavati, look, look over there on the road. Nitai is returning. He's coming back. This sannyasi is so kind. He knows our heart. He's bringing Nitai back. Come, look, see. And then he would fall unconscious, rolling in the ground, crying, where is Nitai? In this way, after 3 months,
Padmavati and Hadai Pandit chanting the holy names of Nitai Chandra, they departed from this world. And most all of the residents of Ekachakra in the same condition, they just, without saying anything to anyone, they just went to different places. Meanwhile, Nitai's on pilgrimage. He is so happy. he's with this sannyasi, and after some time, he just continued the pilgrimage alone. And there's a wonderful explanation of all the different places he visited. He went all the way from Bengal. He went to Jagannath Puri. He went to Kanyakumari. He went. He came up to the western coast of India, and in Maharashtra state, he visited Pandharpur. How many people here have been to Pandharpur? Please raise your hands. The deity of Vitthal Davis, giving his darshan there. Nityananda Prabhu, in great ecstatic love, he had the darshan of Vitthal Dev. And he wanted to be in seclusion and stay in Pandharpur for some time. So there was a very gentle, loving Brahmin, Vaishnav, who invited Nityananda Prabhu to stay in his home. And Nityananda Prabhu was very secretly living there. This Brahmin was very eager to invite his guru to Pandharpur to be with him, which he would do regularly. His guru's name was Lakshmipati Tirtha. He came to the Brahmin's house, sat down, took prasad. Lakshmipati Tirtha was a very, very great saint, one of the sannyasi acharyas of the Madhvacharya Sampradaya. He was also the initiating guru of Madhavendra Puri. Lakshmipati Tirtha said to his disciple, "I have been to your house many times, but I have never, ever, ever felt so happy here. Why am I feeling so happy? Is some great personality here?" And because Nityananda Prabhu wanted to be secret, the Brahmin said, "Your mercy is all that I'm made of." That night, Lakshmipati Tirtha, by the Lord's arrangement within his heart, he began to feel deep devotion and offer prayers and meditations to Lord Balaram. He was weeping. "Oh, Balaram, I am the most fallen. I am the most unworthy. Please bestow your mercy upon me. I have no qualifications to receive those mercies, but please, please bless me with your grace." And in this way, he was crying all night in intense remembrance of Balaram praying. And then he fell asleep and had a dream. In the dream, Balaram appeared to him. He surrendered his body, his mind, his words, his life, his soul to Balaram. "How may I serve you?" And Balaram told him,
that I have heard your lamentation, and I cannot bear your lamentation of separation from me, so I had to come. He said, in this village, there is a young boy who's in the garb of an avadut. He will approach you and ask you for initiation. You should initiate him. And I am going to tell you the mantra that you should give. And then Balaram whispered in the right ear of Lakshmipati Tirtha, in the dream, a special mantra. Lakshmipati Tirtha was in complete ecstasy. And then Balaram disappeared, and the dream ended, and it was now morning, and the sun was about to rise. And just then, Nityananda Prabhu came into his room and offered his full dandavats. Lakshmipati Tirtha, such a beautiful young man. He placed him on his lap. And Nityananda said, please give me initiation. Lakshmipati Tirtha, seeing the beauty, the charm of luck of Nityananda Prabhu, he could understand this is not a human being. In his heart of hearts, he could understand this is my worshipable Lord, but he couldn't really intellectually connect to that. But if it is your will, he gave Nitai the mantra that Balaram gave him that same night. The night before. Nityananda and him spent some time together, such a disciple. And he found such happiness. And then Nityananda Prabhu left. And he just was completely absorbed in thought of the wonderful qualities of Nityananda Prabhu. His heart was irresistibly attracted to him. He was crying. At that time, Lakshmipati Tirtha was a very old man. And again, he fell asleep. And in his dream, Nityananda Prabhu appeared. And he was just gazing upon Nitai. And then Nitai, right in front of his eyes in the dream, Nitai transformed into Balaram. He fell at the feet of Balaram, Lakshmipati Tirtha, and worshipped his lotus feet and cried on his feet. And then right before his eyes, Balaram turned again into Nityananda Prabhu and told him, do not tell anyone what you have seen. So he didn't tell anyone, but how do we know? Because through his devotees, Nityananda told us. He told him, don't tell anyone, but then he told others, tell everyone. That is his pastime. So after this dream where Nityananda Prabhu disappeared again, Lakshmipati Tirtha never said another word to anyone. He was totally absorbed in the deepest, most profound samadhi. And soon after this, he departed from this world and went back to the spiritual world of Vaikuntha. After Nityananda, Prabhu departed from Pandharapur, he went to a place close to Pratichi Tirtha. And there he met Srila Madhavendra Puri. When they met each other, many great biographers try to explain, but all admit that they cannot explain the immediate loving, ecstatic feelings that they shared with each other. As soon as they saw each other, they saw the treasure of prema bhakti in their hearts. They were embracing. They were falling on the ground. They were falling unconscious. Great saints like Ishwara Puri, Brahmananda Puri, were there serving their guru, Madhavendra Puri, and they were so happy. They never saw such a loving connection between two human beings. Because in their traveling and to different holy places with their guru, they would meet so many people and so many sadhus, but most people were worldly, or they had arrogance, or they had different types of material conditionings, or they were seeking out liberation, or they were seeking out yogic powers, or they were trying to get love, but they didn't really have it. But here, the full manifestation of ecstatic prema and the mood of the residence of Vrindavan was being shared by the two of them, and Ishwara Puri and the other devotees were gazing, crying with happiness. Nityananda Prabhu told Madhavendra Puri that I have traveled to so many holy places, but I have not found what I've been looking for, the treasure of ecstatic love. But now I am finding it in you. Madhavendra Puri said to Nityananda Prabhu, by Krishna's supreme mercy upon me, I now have you as my friend. Madhavendra Puri considered Nityananda Prabhu his dearmost friend, and Nityananda Prabhu considered Madhavendra Puri his guru and honored him with that loving respect. Somehow or other, their pastimes had created a destiny where they had to part from one another. And Nityananda Prabhu, he departed for Setu Bandhu, and Madhavendra Puri went toward the Sarayu, holy river. Nityananda Prabhu went to so many holy places. He went all the way up to Badrinath. When he was in Hastinapur, he was remembering the Pandavas and weeping and crying to think all the difficulties they had to endure. And ultimately, he came to Vrindavan. And he roamed through the 12 forests of Vrindavan. And he was home. In the mood of Balaram, he was remembering Krishna. And he decided, I will stay in Vrindavan until Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reveals his mission of Sankirtan to the world. When he went to Ramghat, the place where Balaramji performed his Ras Lila, Nityananda Prabhu was absorbed in that wonderful, reliving the eternal Lila of Balaram. When he was at the Sringar Bhat or Nityananda Bhat on the banks of the river Yamuna, he was just like a little child. He would play with the Brijabasi children. They would splash. They would laugh. They would play. He was just waiting. Then that great historical moment came where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Gauranga, had returned to Navadvip from Gaya, where he had received initiation from Nityananda Prabhu's godbrother, Ishwarapuri. And Lord Chaitanya established his Sankirtan movement. Advaita was there. Srivas was there. Haridas Thakur was there. Gadadhar Pandit was there. But Lord Chaitanya was feeling everything is incomplete. Where is Nityananda Prabhu? And when Lord Chaitanya thought like that, Nityananda Prabhu from Vrindavan, now I must go. He traveled by foot to Navadvip. What time should I end? I'm sorry. When he came to Navadvip, he went to the house of Nandan Acharya, and there he secretly hid. Nandan Acharya was so happy to see Nityananda Prabhu. He never saw him before, but he could understand his love by his compassion. And he welcomed him and served him in so many ways. Lord Chaitanya was sitting in his own house with his devotees. And he told them on that very day that Nitai arrived, he said, I had a dream. In my dream, a chariot came in front of my house, and on that chariot was an extraordinary personality. He had a wonderful light complexion. He was carrying a plow over his shoulder. He had an earring in one of his ears. He had blue garments. He looked intoxicated in an ecstatic state. He was slightly rocking and asking the same question over and over again. Is this the house of Nimai Pandit? Is this the house of Nimai Pandit? Is this the house of Nimai Pandit? And Nimai said to his devotees, I asked him, who are you? And this person, this extraordinary and luminous person said, I am your brother. Tomorrow we will meet together. And then Lord Chaitanya said, he was Balaram. He was Balaram. He has come to Navadvip. Srivas, Haridas, go find him. Search everywhere. Srivas and Haridas, they saw Lord Chaitanya's mood. He went into such a state, he actually started crying out, bring me, Varuni, Varuni. And he entered into the state of Balaram, absorbed in thinking of Nityananda Prabhu. So Srivas and Haridas, they were searching everywhere very joyfully. We must find him, we must find him. They went to every house, they went to every bathing ghat, they went to every shop. For 8 hours they searched continuously, and finally they came back and they told Lord Chaitanya, we looked everywhere, we can't find him. We were asking everybody. Nobody knows about such a person. And Lord Chaitanya smiled. He said, he is very mysterious. Come with me. And Lord Chaitanya walked right to the house of Nandanacharya. And there inside the house, they saw from outside was Nityananda sitting. And Lord Chaitanya bowed down. And all the devotees bowed down. Nityananda Prabhu was in such a state of ecstatic love. Then he saw Lord Chaitanya. Nityananda Prabhu, he appeared in this world for one single purpose, to assist Lord Chaitanya in his pastimes. He took his birth in Ekachakra. When he was 12 years old, he left home. Why? To assist Lord Chaitanya in his pastimes. For 20 years, he traveled to holy places and ultimately came to Vrindavan, just waiting for Lord Chaitanya to call him. And now Nityananda Prabhu is about 32 years old. And Lord Chaitanya, it's the first time he's seeing him. Nityananda Prabhu just gazed at Lord Chaitanya. All of his senses were completely absorbed in experiencing Lord Chaitanya's beauty, his love, his mercy. Lord Chaitanya told Srivas to sing a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srivas sang a beautiful verse about Krishna and the cowherd boys with their cows coming back to Brajbhumi from the pasture grounds, describing all the beautiful ornaments that Krishna's wearing and his smile and his lotus eyes and his peacock feathers and all his friends. And when Nityananda Prabhu heard this, and gazing upon Mahaprabhu, he just fell to the ground unconscious. Lord Chaitanya told Srivas, go on reciting these verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. He did that. And eventually Nityananda Prabhu, he came back to consciousness. And he and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Gauranga, they embraced and began to dance. At certain times, Nityananda Prabhu was unconscious and Lord Chaitanya was holding him on his lap. Gadadhar Pandit, he was saying, everything is now reversed. Ananta Shesha is supposed to be holding Vishnu on his lap, but now Vishnu is holding Ananta Shesha on his lap. And this was the first meeting of Gaur Nitai. And the next day they performed the Vyas Puja in the house of Srivas. And because of time, we'll just tell a few leelas. Yesterday I spoke something about the deliverance of Jagaya and Madhai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Haridas Thakur one day and Nityananda Prabhu that you should go to every person without discriminating who is fit and who is not fit and give them this simple message. Chant the names of Krishna. Worship Krishna. Speak about Krishna. Krishna's your mother. Krishna's your father. Krishna's the treasure, the wealth of your life. Krishna is your life and soul. Give everyone this simple message and then come back each night and report to me about your activities. So Thakur Haridas and Nityananda Prabhu were going to everyone's houses. And for those who were very pious people, they were so blessed and they started to chant the names of Krishna and they were so happy. It's interesting that Nityananda Prabhu, who was Balaram himself, who was the most magnanimous, munificent servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for those 32 years and 20 years of traveling, he never actually preached. Because he was waiting for the order of Lord Gauranga. All those years of traveling and traveling, he was doing his sadhana. But he did not preach the Sankirtan movement because he wanted all credit to be given to Gauranga. His life, his soul, his everything was only to give glory to Lord Gauranga. But after he got this instruction, how he preached, how he went house to house, how the Supreme Personality, the Absolute Truth, the All-Powerful, was going with the sincerest humility. He would put straw between his teeth. He would bow down to the feet of even sinful people, what to speak of pious people, and beg them to follow this simple message of Lord Gauranga. Some people accepted. But there were those who were not allowed in Srivasa's house who were very proud. And they were very angry. These are thieves. They're coming to our houses just to see what's inside so they could steal from us. Beat them, arrest them, reject them. And Nityananda Prabhu would just bow down. He would prostrate to these people. Whatever you say is all right, but please chant Krishna's names. And ultimately one day they met Jagai and Madhai. They were so vicious. They would burn people's houses down. They would rape, they would murder, they would rob, they would kill, they would eat beef and drink wine every day. And nothing could stop them. Even the government officials were afraid of Jagai and Madhai. And eventually, Nityananda Prabhu, he begged them, please chant Krishna's names. And they were so upset. This was the ultimate insult to Jagai and Madhai, that some avadut is telling them to chant Krishna's names. Like he knows better than me. Beat them! Jagai and Madhai wanted to beat up Nityananda Prabhu. And Haridas. So here we have Balaram. We know the story. When Balaram went to Hastinapur and the entire Kuru army came, Bhishma, Drona, greatest warrior, the whole armies, the whole dynasty, they came to greet him. And somehow they did not give proper respect to Krishna. So Balaram took his plow and hit it on the ground, and the whole Hastinapur separated from the earth. And Balaram said, because you have insulted Krishna, you see what I will do to you. And he was about to destroy all of them and throw the whole kingdom into the Ganga. And they all, Balaram, please, we're sorry. We worship Krishna. And we only said this because we wanted to see your pastime of getting angry. So this is Balaram with all his, you know, Mahavishnu is an expansion of Balaram. All he does is go, one inhalation for a second. And the entire cosmic manifestation is destroyed. So what is Jagai and Madhai to Mahavishnu? But just to show mercy to them, Nityananda and Haridas turned their backs and ran away. And Jagai and Madhai chasing and chasing, and Nityananda Prabhu's running and running, and Haridas is running, and Nityananda's telling Haridas, we better run faster, they're catching up, and we better... And Nityananda Prabhu tells Haridas that you were beaten in 22 marketplaces, and still you forgave those people, and you gave them your mercy, so you better pray to Krishna to help us today. And Nityananda and Haridas Thakur said to Nityananda that Krishna saved me then, but now I'm with such a crazy person, he's going to these dacoits, Jagai and Madhai, and asking him to speak today. I think I'll end my life. And Nityananda Prabhu said, why are you calling me a crazy person? It's Gauranga. He's the crazy person. He's the madman. Who has ever heard in history where somebody, a Brahmin like this, Lord Gauranga, he's taking like the role of a king, ordering us to go to every town, to every house, to every ghat, to every store, and give them his message. It's this Gauranga who's a madman. He's the one who's responsible. And they were laughing and laughing and laughing and running. And meanwhile, Jagai and Madhai were so, they wanted to kill them. They were right behind them. And they were running in such a way that Jagai and Madhai was always right behind them. And they just couldn't catch them. And then they sped up. They ran faster and faster and faster. And Jagai and Madhai were quite fat, so they couldn't keep up. So finally, Jagai and Madhai just started beating each other because they couldn't catch them. They had to beat someone. They were just vicious, cruel. And a few days later, Nityananda Prabhu found them and came up to them again. So please take the name of Krishna. And Madhai and Jagai looked. What is your name? Where are you from? And Nityananda smiled and said, I am Avadhut. Madhai, so angry, picked up a clay pot and boom, smashed it with all his strength on Nityananda's head. Nityananda began to bleed. Blood was covering his face. It went on his clothes. And he was standing between Jagai and Madhai, just praying. I don't mind what you do to me, but it breaks my heart to see you in such a condition. Take the name of Krishna and be happy. Madhai was so angry. He was about to hit Nityananda again, and Jagai stopped him. And some of the people ran and told Lord Chaitanya, who was humble like a blade of grass, respectful to everyone. But when his devotee was being abused like this, Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya came running to that place. His eyes, Prabhupada said, were like red coals. He cried, Chakra, Chakra. And the Sudarshan Chakra appeared right before Jagai and Madhai. And Mahaprabhu's eyes were so angry, gazing, glowing with anger on Jagai and Madhai. And they became, for the first time of their lives, they were scared. They knew death personified is before us. And Nityananda Prabhu is calling out to Lord Chaitanya with all his heart, please, if I've ever done any pious activities, if I've ever done any devotional service that has pleased you, I will transfer all of that for one benediction. Forgive them. Give them Krishna. Then Nityananda Prabhu said, Jagai saved my life. He stopped Madai from hitting me. And as soon as he said that, Lord Chaitanya became so happy. He became blissful. He embraced Jagai. You protected my Nityananda Prabhu. For doing this, I give you ecstatic love for Krishna at this moment. And with the embrace, Jagai, his heart became totally purified and ecstatic prema awakened, and he fell to the ground. And then Lord Chaitanya, he woke him up and manifested a forearm form. And then Lord Chaitanya placed his lotus foot on Jagai's heart. And Madhai, seeing this, he became transformed. He said, please give me the same mercy. You have offended Nityananda Prabhu. Only Nityananda Prabhu can protect you. So he fell at the feet of Nityananda Prabhu, and Nityananda Prabhu picked him up and embraced him and offered him to Lord Chaitanya. And from that day on, Jagai and Madhai were completely purified. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu, they just told, don't commit any more sins, associate with devotees, and chant the holy names of Krishna. One time, Sachi Mata, she loved Nityananda Prabhu just like her own son. One time she told Lord Gauranga, I had a very mysterious dream right at the end of the night. I had this dream where Nityananda and you were on the altar with my deities of Krishna and Balaram. And you were both like little children. And Nityananda took the deity of Krishna off the altar, and you took the deity of Balaram off the altar, and Krishna and Balaram were chastising you. Who are you to take us off the altar? All these sweets, all this sandesh, all of these prasad, or the bhoga that's being offered is for us. Who are you to take it from us? And you were fighting over the sweet balls. And Balaram said to Nityananda, my Lord is Krishna. He's the proprietor of everything that exists. He will punish you for taking his property. And then Nityananda Prabhu said to Balaram, my Lord is Gauranga. And your days of being cowherd boys and stealing butter and sweets are finished. Now we are Brahman, and I have no fear of you. Who is Krishna? My Lord is Gauranga. And now arguing. And then Nityananda Prabhu started crying out to Sachi, feed me, Sachi, feed me. And then I woke up. And Lord Chaitanya said, I think we should invite Nityananda Prabhu for prasad today. Sachi said, yes, let us do that. I will cook. So Lord Chaitanya went to Nityananda Prabhu. He was staying at Srivas Thakur's house. Said, Sachi has cooked for you, but please behave properly. And Nityananda Prabhu said to Lord Chaitanya, Lord Gauranga, that because you don't behave properly, therefore you're thinking, I don't behave properly. You should behave properly. And then they left. And then they went in, and they sat down for prasad, and Sachimata came out with the pots and served them. And then she went back into the room to get another preparation. When she came out, instead of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, she saw two little tiny children. One had a white complexion, one had a dark monsoon rain cloud complexion. And they both had four arms. And they looked so beautiful. And they didn't have any clothes on. And when Sachi saw this, she went into ecstasy and fainted. And the pots that were in her hand just fell to the floor and all spilled out. And then Lord Chaitanya got up from there and he picked up Sachi Devi and said, Sachi Devi, what happened to you? Why did you fall down like that and drop the pots? And Sachi couldn't say a word. She just went into her private room and just cried in ecstatic motherly love. Lord Chaitanya, when he took sannyas, he told Nitai that we have come to this world to deliver the fallen souls. But just like a doctor who comes with medicine to heal a patient, but now I see that the medicine we have come with is making the patients even worse. The reason he was saying that is because some of the very, very proud Brahmins of Navadvip, they were threatening to beat Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya, I will shave my head and I will take sannyas. And then when I go begging at their doors, they will offer me respect and then they will be delivered. When Lord Chaitanya spoke this to Nityananda Prabhu, his heart was so broken. The only thing he could say is, please discuss this with other devotees. And then Nityananda Prabhu went to a secluded place and was thinking, what will happen to the soft heart of Sachi Mata when he does this? After he leaves home forever as a sannyasi, how will Sachi Mata live? What suffering she will endure? And thinking in that way, Nityananda Prabhu wept. After Lord Chaitanya took sannyas and went to Navadvip, Lord Chaitanya told Nityananda Prabhu, you should go to Bengal. You should go to Bengal and you should preach there. You should give this message to everyone. The people that I cannot reach because I'm a sannyasi and it's not appropriate for me to be, you should go to those people and go to those places. Reach to the most fallen. So when Nityananda Prabhu was leaving Puri to go to Bengal, he took with him some of his very close associates.